The National Broadcasting Company presents Radio City Playhouse, Attraction 24. Ladies and gentlemen, here's the director of Radio City Playhouse, Harry W. Junkin.
Thank you, Bob Warren. Friends, tonight's story, The Wisdom of Eve, is adapted by Miss Mary Orr from her story of the same name, which appeared in Cosmopolitan magazine. We're happy to have a script by this very talented writer on Radio City Playhouse. With her husband, Reginald Denham, Miss Orr is co-author of the Broadway hit Wallflower, which later became a Warner Brothers picture. In Miss Orr's story, the part of Karen Manners is played by Miss Claudia Morgan, one of radio's most talented actresses. We're very happy to welcome Miss Orr as an author and Miss Morgan as an actress to Radio City Playhouse. We hope that their first appearance will not be their last. Here, then, is The Wisdom of Eve by Mary Orr, starring Claudia Morgan as Karen, Attraction 24 on Radio City Playhouse.
If you were listening to the radio last night, perhaps you heard what Ronnie Dawson, the famous Hollywood commentator, had to say about Eve Harrington.
But of course, ladies and gentlemen, the most thrilling story in Hollywood this weekend is unfortunately news no longer. You've read it splashed across your Sunday papers, the fabulous and heartwarming story of Eve Harrington, who, with nothing but talent to help her, has risen in one short year from a stage-struck unknown to the most loved, most sought after, most talented actress Hollywood has seen in a generation.
She was so hauntingly lovely, with that petal-like skin and those great, sad blue eyes. I first saw Eve Harrington a year ago. Lloyd, my husband, was the author of the play in which Margot Cranston scored such a triumph. Margot and I are friends, and frequently after performance, I drop into Margot's dressing room to say hello. This particular day, Eve Harrington was lurking outside the stage entrance with only a pathetic little red coat to protect her from the January weather. I'll always remember that pathetic little red coat at the stage entrance.
Mrs. Richards, Mrs. Richards.
Yes?
You are Mrs. Richards, aren't you, the wife of the playwright?
Yes, I am.
Would you please, please take me in to meet Miss Cranston? Please, if I could just get into her dressing room and talk to her.
She's allergic to strangers, child. Perhaps if you let me have your autograph book.
No, Mrs. Richards, I want to talk to her. Please, please.
Well, I...
Oh, please, Mrs. Richards.
Well, if it means that much to you, come along. Now, mind you, I can't guarantee anything.
Oh, I know, Mrs. Richards, but you're her friend.
You never can tell what mood Margot will be in.
Isn't she simply wonderful, Mrs. Richards? Isn't she?
You poor kid. You've really got a crush on her, haven't you?
Well, I think she's the greatest actress I've ever seen.
Well, wait here, and I'll see if she wants to talk to anybody.
I've got all the time in the world, Mrs. Richards.
I may not be able to work it. Hello, Margot. Can I come in?
Karen, darling, bless you.
Come in, come in.
Did you bring the new draft of Lloyd's play for me to read?
I did. I hope you like it.
Hope he's made Cora a little more mature.
Oh, Margot, you're not too old to play Cora. Lloyd thinks you can play anything.
Well, darling, I should hope so. I always have. And I?
Margot, there's a kid outside who's dying to meet you. She goes into a trance at the mere mention of your name.
Oh, get rid of her, Karen. I'm in no mood for autograph hunts today.
Sport, Margot. She's just a skimpy kid in a moth-eaten red coat. Give her a break.
Red coat and little red beret?
Yes. Do you know her?
That stray's been haunting the stage entrance for days. She must be crazy. All right, bring her in. Don't suppose she'll mind if I'm all over cold cream.
She's such a wistful little thing. I feel sorry for her. Hey, Red Riding Hood. You can come in.
Thanks, Mrs. Richards.
Well, come on. Come on. This is Miss Cranston. Miss,
Harrington. Eve Harrington.
How do you do?
Oh, Miss Cranston, this is a dream. Am I actually in your dressing room? I can't believe it. I've seen the play 14 times, and you're even more beautiful than I imagined.
You're not serious. Not 14 times.
Oh, I only buy standing room. I go without my lunches to save the money. The ushers know me now. They save me a place.
Have you honestly seen this play 14 times?
I just can't help it, Miss Cranston. You're so wonderful.
It's very touching. Isn't it, Karen?
Touching hardly describes it. What do you do for a living, Miss Harrington?
I'm a stenographer, Mrs. Richards. But my real life begins when I come to the theater to watch Miss Cranston.
Well, my dear, I haven't been so flattered in years. Look here, how would you like to come back to my apartment to have some supper? My husband's out of town, and we can be all alone and talk about my acting.
Oh, Miss Cranston, that would be the most wonderful thing that could possibly happen to me. I couldn't think of anything that would make me happier.
So that's the way I met Eve Harrington. A pathetic little stage-struck kid with that soft, childlike loveliness. Margot, of course, being only human, was touched and flattered by the adoration. I'm fond of Margot. Without her, Lloyd's plays might have run 2 weeks instead of 2 years. Margot was a genius. She had that solid gold type of talent, the talent that comes from a brilliant mind working terribly hard. Sometimes she was temperamental, sometimes affected, sometimes downright disagreeable. But she was good company and a good sport, and by and large, we got along splendidly. For about 3 weeks after this, I didn't see Margot. And then one afternoon, I thought I'd just drop up to her apartment and have a gossip. I'd completely forgotten Eve Harrington. Completely forgotten her. That's why I was so surprised when she answered the door of Margot's apartment. Well, if it isn't Little Red Riding Hood. Well, what are you doing
here? Hello, Mrs. Richards. Do come in.
Thank you. Why, but you're looking ravishing.
It's because I'm so happy, Mrs. Richards. Miss Cranston has engaged me as her secretary. I take messages, answer fan mail, send out pictures.
Well, it's about time Margot had someone to take care of her correspondence. She still hasn't acknowledged a Christmas present I sent her in 1942.
She's so wonderful. Sit down, Mrs. Richards. Miss Cranston's in the bath, but she'll be out shortly. Shall I tell her you're here?
Oh, that can wait. Tell me about you.
Oh, it's so wonderful. I go to the theater with her every night and stand in the wings and study her and watch her.
Well, why do you want to study her?
Oh, dear, I guess I've let it slip out.
Let what slip out?
Oh, Mrs. Richards, I do so want to act someday. You don't know what it's like to want something so badly that you can hardly stand it. I know I've got talent. I know I have. I lie awake at night dreaming that I'm Margot Cranston, that I'm taking the bows, hearing the applause. I've learned every word of her part, every gesture, every movement she makes. And you know, Mrs. Richards, I could do that part.
Eve.
I could. I've taken it down in shorthand. If only she'd let me understudy her. If she'd only give me a chance to know what I could do,
Eve. I don't like this. Margot thinks you're her secretary. And already you've designs on her job. I don't think it's honest. And I don't like it.
But, Mrs. Richards, I don't mean any harm. I wouldn't do anything to hurt Miss Cranston for the world.
Does Margot know you want to act this badly?
No.
Well, why don't you tell her?
I'm afraid. Do you think she'd help me?
Well,
She wouldn't. Oh, I don't know what to think. Sometimes I think it's awful of me not to let her know. And other times Mrs. Richards, what will I do? I want so terribly to act. I don't want to be deceitful.
I think you should tell her. She'll think you've lied to her. You never once let on you were interested in a stage career yourself.
Mrs. Richards, when you were young, I mean when you were my age, didn't you ever want anything so badly that it almost made you sick?
My dear child, we've all wanted things. All of us.
There isn't an understudy now. If Miss Cranston was sick, the show just wouldn't go on. Couldn't you ask her to let me take her part in the understudy rehearsals? Couldn't you?
Eve, my dear, Margot is never sick. She's as tough as a truck. She's got germ-resistant bumpers.
But it would be such a wonderful experience. Oh, I know I'd never get to play the role, but couldn't you just suggest that I... Well, not say anything about my wanting to act.
You're very sweet, Eve. And very young. I'll see what she says.
She won't let me do it if you say I want to understudy her. It's got to be that I just want some extra money. Oh, Mrs. Richards, please, please help me. It won't do any harm. I could never hope to ever play the role, but I'd learn so much. And there's so much for me to learn. And I want to so badly. Please.
Well, I'll see.
And you won't tell her I want to be an actress. What harm can that do? I'm just a nobody, and she's famous. If I lose this job, I'll have to go back to stenography. Please, don't give me away.
No, Eve. I won't give you away. I promise. The girl made my heart ache. It made me remember when I was 22, how I wanted to be an actress. But nobody ever took an interest in me. Eve didn't mean any harm. She was just a stage-struck kid. After all, what harm could it do to Margot to let the kid take part in the understudy rehearsals? And it would make Eve so happy. I wanted to see Eve happy. I liked her. I felt sorry for her. She was so sweet and so young. I brought the subject up in Margot's dressing room a couple of days later. By the way, Margot, there's something I wanted to ask you. Lloyd and I came to the understudy rehearsal this morning. They're pretty handicapped because there's nobody to read your part.
We never thought it necessary to engage an understudy for me. If I couldn't go on some nights, the show just wouldn't open.
I know, dear, but it would be a help to the cast if somebody read your part. I was wondering if...
What?
Well, that little secretary of yours. Why not pay her a few extra dollars to read your part at the understudy rehearsal? She could probably use the money.
Well, she probably could at that.
It's decent of you, Margot, to take her under your wing.
Strangely drawn to her. No, I've a hunch she's stage-struck. If she wants to act, poor kid. I don't think she's too talented either.
Then you wouldn't mind her reading your part?
My dear Karen, why should I? Let her do it. You'll give her some extra money, and it may prove to her that it isn't as easy as it looks. You know, it's funny about Eve.
What?
If I asked her to jump in front of a taxi, I believe she'd do it without a qualm.
So, Eve got the chance to read Margot's part. 2 weeks later, I dropped in at an understudy rehearsal to watch her. I was completely staggered. The girl was sensational. She had everything. She had looks, brains, talent, everything. I came away from the rehearsal with a lump in my throat. Because I had a feeling that Eve would never make it, never achieve success. She wasn't tough enough. She was too delicate, too honest. I wanted to give her the benefit of my experience, the benefit of 15 years spent knocking around with theater people, knowing how things worked, how tough you've got to be. One night, Lloyd came home trembling with rage and hurt feelings. He'd had a row with Margot. I've never seen him so upset.
Of all the egotistical, disagreeable, foul-tempered, broken-down old bags I've ever met in my 15 years in the theater, Margot breaks every record ever set.
Now, darling, calm down. Take it easy.
He threw a hairbrush at me.
Oh.
Threw it at me.
Well, Lloyd...
Tore the script in half, jumped on it, and darn near brained me with a hairbrush. She's crazy, absolutely crazy.
Well, I know Margot's a little difficult sometimes, but you've just...
Difficult? She is nuts. I never saw such an exhibition of temper in my life.
Lloyd, why don't you just break with her? Why put up with it?
That's the trouble, Karen. I've got to put up with it. I need her. We both need her. She may be the devil on wheels, but she's still the best actress in New York.
I felt sorry for Lloyd. He's sensitive and a fine writer. and I felt Margot behaved pretty badly. I decided that perhaps it wouldn't hurt Margot to be taken down a peg. Maybe you'll think that's being petty and nasty, but when you love your husband and see him being made miserable by a temperamental actress, you sometimes do things you're sorry for. So, I tipped Eve off, told her what I was going to do. Then I invited Margot up to our place in Meadowbrook for the weekend. Then I deliberately made her miss the train back on Monday. It was a rotten trick, I suppose, but, well, I figured it wouldn't do Margot any harm. What's missing one performance? Well, we had to drive back through a blizzard, and we got to the theater in time to see Eve play the final 10 minutes of the last act. She was wonderful. I'd told her what critics to call, and they'd all turned up. The next day, Eve gave an interview to the columnists that almost turned my stomach. I just couldn't imagine her saying such things. I couldn't imagine that gentle, soft little voice being so cruel, being so heartless and so calculating.
Gentlemen, I was never a fan of Miss Cranston's in my heart. Of course, I admire her no end, but her art doesn't come from inside. It's not profound. It's an external surface thing, a veneer of shallow technique. And anyway, this part calls for youth, and, well, I have youth. Whereas Miss Cranston, let's face it, is no longer an ingenue, even if she thinks she is. That's the trouble with the theater today. Practically every play is miscast with middle-aged women playing young virgins of 22 because those actresses are names like Margot Cranston.
I was sick when I read it. I couldn't believe it. It was incredibly cruel. Well, of course, Margot and Eve had a showdown. By the time Margot got through with her, Eve Harrington was in shreds. Margot kicked her out bodily. As for me, I felt badly. I'd placed temptation in Eve's way, and then hadn't told her how to behave, how to handle success. However, I decided I'd just been wrong about the girl, that she was really pretty cheap. I forgot about her. Margot never found out about the train missing business, and the whole incident was forgotten. Then one day, about 3 months later, Eve Harrington forced her way into the apartment, past the maid and right into my bedroom. She'd tried to talk to me on the phone, but I'd refused to speak to her. I'd told the maid I just wasn't at home to Eve Harrington, no matter what she wanted.
Mrs. Richards, I know you don't want to see me, but I've got to talk to you. I've just got to. I forced my way past your maid, and I've just got to talk to you.
I'm afraid there's nothing to talk about.
But there is. There is. Please. Oh, I've been so miserable. I've hated myself.
I'm not in the mood for a scene, Eve. If you want to behave yourself, you may sit down and talk to me for exactly 5 minutes. Then you have to go. Now, what do you want to say?
Mrs. Richards, I've no more money. None.
How unfortunate.
I've only got a dollar left.
But I'm sorry.
Well, it was your fault. It was your idea that I go on that night. You told me to get those critics. Why didn't you tell me what to say?
My fault? Now, look here, Eve Harrington.
Well, it was. I was just a scared kid from Milwaukee. Why didn't you tell me what to say? How to behave? You should never have let me make such a fool of myself. I thought I was being smart.
And you only succeeded in being stupid and ridiculous.
I know. Don't you think I know that? It was a hateful, horrible thing to do. Margot Cranston had been kind to me, and I repaid her by being... Well, every time I think of it, it makes me sick.
Well, I'm glad you've the decency to be sorry.
I'm not really that way, Mrs. Richards. I'm not really mean and hateful. Oh, I wish I was dead.
Oh, come now, Eve. It isn't that bad.
I've been horrible and mean and nasty, and I wish I was dead.
Please, Eve, please, stop crying.
I've no money.
Well, I can let you have a little money.
Oh, what's the use? I might just as well starve. Just by this one silly, horrible mistake, I've ruined my whole career. It went to my head, Mrs. Richards. I just didn't know what I was saying at that interview. With all those people listening to every word I said, and writing it down, I just didn't know what I was saying. Oh, can't you believe that I didn't really mean it? That I'm sorry? That I didn't really mean to hurt Miss Cranston? Can't you believe that?
Eve, Maybe this has done you some good. Believe me, I'm sorry for you. But maybe you've learned an important lesson. Maybe you've learned what integrity means. Maybe you've learned that if you kick people too hard on your way up the ladder, they kick you on your way down.
Oh, I have. I have. Honestly, I have.
Well, leave me your address and I'll send you some money in the morning.
I don't want charity, Mrs. Richards.
What do you want?
I've no right to ask it, Mrs. Richards, but I saw in the papers that Mr. Richards' new play is being cast.
There's nothing in it for you, Eve.
Mrs. Richards, I read that play when your husband left it for Miss Cranston to read. I understand she refuses to do the part.
I'm afraid that's true.
I could do it.
Eve, don't be ridiculous. Cora's the lead. Lloyd wants a name. As a matter of fact, he wants Margot, but she won't touch it.
She couldn't do it.
Really?
I could, Mrs. Richards. I'm young. Cora's a young girl. She's young and intense and, well, she's just like me. I know she is. I know that I'm Cora. Couldn't you please ask Mr. Richards to let me read for him? That's all. Just let me read it. If he doesn't like me, I'll never bother you again, I promise.
Well, Eve, I don't know.
I've learned my lesson, Mrs. Richards. I promise I'll never do anything mean or dishonest again, ever, ever as long as I live. If you'll just please let me read for that part.
Well, Eve,
oh, just let me read for it. If I'm not right, I'll go right back to Milwaukee. I'll give up. But I've just got to read for that part. I've got to.
She was so pathetic sitting there on my bed. So terribly young, so terribly earnest. I felt almost old enough to be her mother. Even though I'm only 36, Eve made me feel as old as the world. This was youth, wanting, suffering, aching for success, longing for recognition. I'd become happy and calm. I was content to be a good wife to a fine playwright. I wanted nothing more out of life. I'd forgotten that when I was her age, I wanted to act too. She brought it all back to me. Basically, the girl was decent. I was convinced of that. Basically, she was a sweet, misguided kid that had let one little success go to her head. So I asked Lloyd to read her. He did. I sent her $100 in the mail. She bought herself a decent dress and went down a week later and read the part of Cora. I'd no idea what Lloyd would think of her.
I'm glad you're back, Johnny. I know you're bad. I know you're bad and I don't care. Can't you understand that? I know you're bad and I just don't care.
Thank you, Miss Harrington. Thank you.
Did you like it?
As a matter of fact, I like it very much. I like it so much that... Well, you see, I always consult Mrs. Richards before I cast, before I make a final decision. I'd like you to read again next Thursday. I'll have Mrs. Richards come down and hear you, too. If she likes you, the part's yours.
I'm reading for both of you tomorrow.
Eve, don't count too much on it. I really can't promise you anything.
You're still good friends with Miss Cranston?
Of course we're good friends. We disagreed about Cora, but Margot's going on tour with the Ten Divines next week. She'll probably tour for a year in it.
I see. I wish I could be sure that Mr. Richards would cast me. I've run up a few bills. I mean, on the strength of getting the part, I've bought some clothes.
Eve, dear, you're such a child. You mustn't count on it. You just mustn't. You've never got a part until the contract's signed. I'd hate to see you disappointed. Lloyd liked you very much, but he's also considering another girl. I think it's between the two of you. I'll honestly have to tell him if I like the other girl better.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Richards. I can't risk that.
Well, I don't quite understand what you mean.
I hate to do this, Mrs. Richards, but I think you'd better choose me.
I beg your pardon?
It would be very awkward for you if Miss Cranston decided she didn't want to take your husband's play on tour, wouldn't it?
What are you trying to say?
Just that it would be very unfortunate if Miss Cranston broke up her business association with you and Mr. Richards.
Go on, Eve.
Well, I think Miss Cranston would be very annoyed if I told her that you'd made her miss the train that night. She's always wondered how I managed to get the critics there. How I knew in advance that I'd be playing the role. You see, I phoned the critics Monday morning. Miss Cranston didn't miss the train until Monday evening. Don't you think it would be rather unpleasant?
Why, you cheap little...
Temper, temper, Mrs. Richards. If the truth were to come out, I don't think Miss Cranston would ever do one of your husband's plays again.
Why,
I don't think she'd go on tour with the Tender Vines. After all, she doesn't need the money. You do. Don't you?
You dirty little blackmailer. What a stupid fool I've been. You're quite an actress, Eve. I was actually feeling motherly towards you. Just for the record, is there anything you wouldn't do to get a part, Eve?
Not that I can think of, Mrs. Richards.
I told Lloyd to give her the part, and he did. He coached her, worked with her, and he did the job so well that for the first time in his career he had a hit without Margot Cranston. Everybody went crazy about her. She was so sweet, so charming, so talented. Now she's gone to Hollywood. She's sensational there, too. Gracious, unspoiled, a sweet, unsophisticated, typical American girl. She's made two pictures already, both of them hugely successful. She's photographed in her pool, out of her pool, beside her pool, and... Well, that's the story of Eve Harrington. It's all just as Ronnie Dawson says. Hollywood columnists, of course, are always getting exclusives. They know the real story. I asked you before if you'd heard Ronnie's broadcast last night, didn't I? It was really very interesting. Very interesting.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, this wonderful young girl who's achieved such tremendous success as an actress crowned those triumphs today by marrying Lloyd Richards in Las Vegas, Nevada. Richards is the famous Broadway playwright who first encouraged Miss Harrington in her career. He is the recently divorced husband of Karen Manners, former stage actress. This story, ladies and gentlemen, in which a young girl with only talent and brains struggles up from the bottom with no help, no assistance, only her honest desire to make good, should prove an inspiration to all young actresses. It proves what I've always said, brains, talent, and above all, integrity, always pay off. This is Ronnie Dawson saying good night to you from Hollywood.
Congratulations, Eve. Stay up there. Yes, you'd better stay up there.
You have just heard Radio City Playhouse, Attraction 24, The Wisdom of Eve, written by Mary Orr and directed by Harry W. Duncan. Claudia Morgan starred as Karen Manners. Eve was played by Marilyn Erskine. Other players included Connie Lemke, Lou Hall, and Mark Roberts. The music was composed and conducted by Dr. Roy Shield. Radio City Playhouse is supervised for the National Broadcasting Company by Richard P. McDonough.
This is Harry Junkin again. Next week on Radio City Playhouse, the bleak and tragic story of Martha Hillman, an overweight, homely girl who missed everything that most women get and which all women want. We hope you'll listen to Machine next week on Radio City Playhouse. Good night, everybody.
This program came to you from our Radio City studios in New York. Bob Warren speaking. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.